To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receive. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Heavenly Father, we want You to quiet our hearts today. Lord, we thank You so much for this church that You've given us that preaches Your word. We pray, Lord, that everything would be done here today would be to Your glory, not ours. And we thank You again that this church preaches and teaches Your word without compromise. Again, we thank You for the fathers that are represented here today. We thank You, Lord, for the families that are here. We just continue to ask to bless. And we thank You for our visitors. Lord, do we need to recognize them? We thank You again that You love us. You shed Your blood and died on the cross for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Al, scripture.
I got a few scriptures here that I'm going to be jumping around, so bear with me. On this Father's Day, I thought it would be proper for us to praise our Savior, God, our Creator. So I'll be jumping around different scriptures. I got John 3:16 and John 1:12-13 and 1 John 3, 1-3, if you want to follow along, and Romans chapter 8, 14-17. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 1:12-13. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become children of God. And now, First John 3:1-3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purified himself just as he is pure. Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, and we may also be glorified together. God bless the reading of his word. Amen.
Thank you. It's a wonderful blessing that we call God our Father. He listens to his children and is an awesome God. He is not dead. He's completely alive. He's working. He's blessing. If we continue to have a church like this that preaches his word. Some of the announcements, we had a meeting last Sunday. The membership voted in favor of presenting Brother George Polaris before the church for the purpose of becoming the pastor of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. The vote will take place on June 26th after the morning meeting. Also, I would like to ask you that you that became new members, would you please see Fran that she can get all the information, like numbers and where you live and stuff like that, in case we have to contact you. It's Rita used to do this every time someone became a member. We need to probably give this to Fran right now. Fran is ready to take your addresses and phone numbers and so forth. If you'll turn to 633, please, in your hymnal. Constantly abiding. There's a peace in my heart that the world never gave, a peace that cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I've a peace that has come to stay. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine, constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, oh, here is I will never leave thee, Jesus is mine. All the world seems to sing the Savior and King, when peace came to my heart. Troubles all away, and my night turned to day. Blessed Jesus, how glorious thou art. Constantly abiding, thee is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers oh so kind. I will never leave thee, Jesus is mine. The gift I have in the temple of clay, while here on a footstool I roam. But he's coming to take me some glorious day over there to my heavenly home. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. abiding rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers oh so kind. I will never leave thee, Jesus is mine. For our offering, I'm going to change the tune. I'm just the old rugged cross. I think we'll be good and loud with that. What number, please? 86. I'll find it. After the song, we'll have our offering. If a couple of ushers would come forward, and then we'll ask some specials. Anybody find it? 228? 228. Thank you.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, you my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a in that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
A commercial, please. We do have Wednesday night service. We are in a video now about the truth. And if you want to come, it's at 6 o'clock. And, of course, tonight's service at 6 o'clock. Brother George will be preaching again. We'd love to have you. You're welcome. Our doors are always open. Brother Ramel, please. Amen. Brother John, do you have a song for us for Father's Day?
Good morning, everyone. You know, Pastor Bellowers was talking about how God was molding us continuously, those who belong to him, those who are true believers in Christ, how he's molding us, shaping us daily to be in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when that trumpet sound, we rise up, we be ready, we be holy, we be holy, so we be just like our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. But you know what? I think about heaven when I read the Bible times, and I just start thinking about heaven. And I know it's a beautiful place. Not only the Bible tells me, but that's where my Heavenly Father and my Lord Jesus Christ dwells. Amen. So I know it's a beautiful place. And let me tell you something. One day I'm going to see it just as it is. Please. I read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. Now these truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Waters of life there are flowing.
and all who drink may be free. Rare jewels are splendor, are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. Now the angels are so freely singing up there by the beauty of the sea. And the sweet voice from their chorus are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven and a rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Oh, how beautiful heaven must be. Oh, I know it's beautiful. Though my Lord lives there. Praise God. Hallelujah.
It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we can be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. Just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about his precious blood. Save me from my sin. Yeah. could save you, and that's why we celebrate. We celebrate. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born so that we can be born again. It's about the sun.
Amen. That's enough. Beautiful. Thank you. I'm sure everybody's listening up in heaven, too. A good habit I'm going to introduce is Brother George. He's going to break open the bread of life to us, and I'm sure all our hearts and minds will be tuned to the God's word. And we thank God for him. We thank God for all of you. And don't forget, next week we vote. Thank you, Brother George.
Morning. It is about the cross. Amen. Amen. One of the things that I think both you and I have grown frustrated to is the shift on focus on all kinds of other things except for the cross. A shift on focus on churchianity when instead it's supposed to be Christianity. Amen. Thank you for this opportunity once again. I always say before I open up the Word of God that I do not take the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God lightly. It is a privilege to be called into the ministry. It is a privilege to preach the Word of God. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful for the opportunity that you have given me to stand today and open up the Word of God. I believe that the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the delivery of the Word of God is a holy thing that is not to be meddled with as if it's a joke, as if it's an entertainment. It is the preaching of the holy book about the holy God. I ask you to stand with me to the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. In honor of God's Word, Jeremiah chapter 17. We'll look at a couple of verses. We'll jump over to Psalm chapter 5. I usually preach from the Gospels about the life of Christ, but today will be a little bit different. God has laid on my heart something different from the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8, and then we'll jump over to Psalm chapter 1. Once you find your text, say amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 17, read along with me. Verse 5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited." Verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man that what? That trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Verse 8 says, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Now jump over to Psalm chapter 1, a very familiar text. Then I'll ask you to be seated. Psalm chapter 1, A text that sounds the same as the text that we had just read, Psalm chapter 1. Some of you have memorized this text. Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed. See that word, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whether when whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Look at the contrast in verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's come to the Lord and pray. Father, I pray that you hide me behind the cross. Forgive me, Lord God, of my sin, as you have. I pray, Lord God, that you put down my flesh and my mind and allow your word alone to speak freely and truly and boldly to your congregation this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Psalms is most people's favorite devotional book. Every believer that have been saved for a while will find comfort in the book of Psalms. Some of you have your favorite verses and favorite chapters in the book of Psalms that you can almost quote those verses, amen? When we are in need of comfort, when we are in need of consolation, we turn to the book of Psalms. But let me just quickly go through context. I would never teach and preach a verse from the Bible without explaining context. The book of Psalms have five divisions in it. Some of you are familiar. There are five divisions. If you go to chapter 42, in the beginning of Psalm chapter 1, you'll find the word book 1. If you go to Psalm 42, you'll find book 2. You see it? If you go to Psalm 73, you'll find book 3. Psalm 90, book 4, and Psalm 107, book 5 is divided into five different books. The authors of the book of Psalms it's not only David. As a matter of fact, you'll find other authors such as Asaph and King Solomon and Ethan and Moses and the sons of Korah as the authors of the book of Psalms. But what baffles me, what I find amazing, even more than the author and the order of the book of Psalms, is the doctrinal context, the doctrinal application of it. If you find your way to the Old Testament, you'll see beginning in 2 Chronicles to Ezra, to Nehemiah, to Esther, to Job, and then you come to the book of Psalms, you'll find that there is a teaching. Number one, 2 Chronicles pertains to the dispersion of Israel. You see, Israel was scattered. If you read the book of 2 Chronicles, you'll find that it corresponds with, if Pastor Wetzel is here, he'll agree with me, that it corresponds to 70 AD. And then we'll get to the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra talks about the regathering of Israel. If you look at that text, it happened in 1918 AD. And if you look at the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah talks about the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And if you're paying attention to current events, Jerusalem is being rebuilt since 1948 AD. You look at the book of Esther, a Gentile queen is rejected, and that corresponds with the marriage of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. You look at the book of Job, you'll see in the book of Job that Job was 7 days and seven nights in the ground going through tribulation. You remember that? Job had suffered. He went through tribulation. And that sequence, if you're paying attention to that sequence, you'll see the plan of God for the future. We will go through a period of tribulation, but when we get to the book of Psalms, after this tribulation, there will be blessedness. You see, after the 7 years of tribulation on earth, the millennial kingdom will be established on earth. It will be a blessed day. Just looking at the structure and the sequence of the Old Testament, you can see prophecy being fulfilled. Now, the book of Psalms belongs to one of the poetical books. And if you are new in your Christian faith, let me help you. The poetical books, there are five of them: Job, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Isaiah. When you look at any text from one of the poetical books, understand that there's poetry in it. There's poetry in it. And you have to understand it as if it is poetry. You'll find synonyms in there, antithesis in there, synthetic building in there, and climatic building in one of the poetical books, or any one of them. You'll find in the book of Psalms, the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm chapter 119, talking about the Word of God. And if you're paying attention to your Bible, you'll find that Psalm chapter 119 is the middle of the Bible. It's amazing, amazing. And people would claim that the Word of God is not inspired. The Word of God was only written by man. But I tell you, the more I look into this book, the more I am convinced that this book is from the Holy God. But yet in churches, you'll find people criticizing the Word of God instead of believing in it. But the more I learn, the more I open the Word of God, I am convinced that this book is a holy book. Just to add to that, if you're paying attention to the poetical books, in Job, you'll find an unhappy man going through tribulation. In Psalms, you'll find the happy man. In Proverbs, you'll find the wise man. In Ecclesiastes, you'll find the worldly man. And in Song of Solomon, you'll find the heavenly man. See, there's a lot in this book to learn from. Now, let's get to our text. That now that I've given you the context of where the book of Psalms belong. Psalm chapter 1, the Bible says, it opens up in the very first word. The first word is the word blessed. If you pay attention to your New Testament, you will find that the first teaching of the Messiah of Jesus Christ in Matthew, is the word blessed, the Beatitudes. Let's go there real quick. Matthew chapter number 5. And I know you're familiar with the Beatitudes. After Jesus Christ had gone through the three temptations, the first teaching that he had was the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter number 4 talks about the persecution, the temptations of Jesus Christ before he enters the ministry. But when you get to chapter 5, the first teaching of Jesus Christ, he opens up his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. See that word, blessed. The first words, the first teachings of Jesus Christ were words of encouragement to the Jews that were conquered, that were in bondage. There were words of encouragement. He said, blessed ye. But in our text this morning, Psalm chapter 1 opens up with that same word and goes through the teachings on how to be blessed. How to be blessed. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, the word blessed appears 41 times in the book of Psalms. Here's your three ways to be blessed. How many of you want to be blessed this morning? How many of you want to be blessed in your life? Well, the Bible tells you how to be blessed. Number one, the way to be blessed is through your walk. Through your walk, says, blessed is the man that walketh. We'll talk about the negative later on, but for now, let's talk about the three things. Blessed is the man that walketh. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. You know, our walk should be in him. Let's go there real quick with me. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Verse 6. Colossians 2, 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You see that? In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul goes through a discourse on your walk. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In verse 17, he says, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. In chapter 5, verse 2, he says, that you walk in love, even as Christ had loved us and had given us and had given himself for us. In verse 8 of chapter 5, he says, walk as children of light. Verse 15, he says, see ye then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. But in Psalm chapter 1, he says, to walk not. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's that warning. Secondly, stand, nor standeth in the way of sinners. In essence, if you look at this sequence of how to be blessed in the negative sense, he says, walk not, stand not, and sit not. You know what that pertains to? That pertains to the progress of sin. See, here's how sin works. First, you take the advice. The Bible says the counsel of the ungodly. Then after you've listened, if you've taken the counsel of the ungodly, the next step into sin is that you'll find yourself in the way. Standing in the way of the ungodly, of the sinners, the Bible says. And then pretty soon you'll find yourself not only standing in their way, but sitting comfortably in the comfort of the sinner, of the sinful. I think about the people that are that are in the gangs, in the gang life. You know, you realize what the gangster, here's how that works. First, their association and their neighborhood. In other words, their walk. After that association, they will become indoctrinated. They become jumped into the gang life. They begin to stand among the gangsters. And then pretty soon you'll find them sitting comfortably in the gang life. The position. And the same way with sin, James chapter 1 says, let's go there real quick. You see, the progress of sin is what's being warned in Psalm chapter 1. Look at James chapter 1 with me real quick. James chapter 1, I'd rather that you pay attention to the Word of God. I love it when I hear the shuffling of the pages. That means you're becoming familiar with your Bible. James chapter 1 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See, when a man sins, you don't sin right away. There's that association with a sinner. And then you begin to do what sinners do. And then eventually you'll find comfort in committing that sin. Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I've seen way too many young men in high school, as early as junior high school, get attracted to the gang life, looking for association, looking for belongingness. By the time they reach 18, they are jumped into the gang. And in order to be a part of the gang, they would get beat up. And then they are forced to commit a crime to prove themselves worthy to be a member of that gang. And later on, that gang member, that teenage gang member, grows into adulthood. And then he becomes a shot caller. Some of you may not be able to relate with that, because you live in a good family life. But I tell you that I work in this society, and it is true that it is alive in this society. Young men losing their lives, growing up not knowing anything but evil. But if there is no church to go to, if there are no grown-ups, some of you have lived long enough to know the consequence of sin. Most of you have lived long enough that there's a consequence of sin. The Bible gives the warning, gives you the procedure, the way to be blessed. First and foremost, walk not among the ungodly. Don't stand among the sinners, and don't sit in the seat of the scornful. I speak with these gangsters that are arrested, and they spend their lives in jail, and then eventually they get released. The first thing I tell them, you know what? Don't ever come back to jail. And they say, well, yeah, we'll never come back to jail. And then a month after, 6 months after, a year after, they're back in jail. I tell them, you really want to change your life when you get out of jail? First thing you do is you find a local church and listen to what a preacher says. And if not that, move out of that community where you grew up that got you into that gang life. You see, if you're still exposed to the same sin, if you don't move yourself away from that association, you will keep falling into that same sin. If you're struggling with a sin, and you're saying, Pastor, I'm having a hard time fighting this sin, overcoming this sin, well, you keep exposing yourself to it. Move out of there. Move away from that lifestyle, and you will never be exposed to it. So the psalmist gives you the negative warning, in the negative sense, the way how to be blessed. But in verse 2 is what I like. See, most of you, most of us have not lived the gang life. Some of you may have. But most Christians that are born in a Christian family, that are raised in the church, they have no idea what I was talking about. I was saved at the age of 20. I did not always come to church. And I was going that route of the gang life. I was going that route of alcoholism, of weapons and guns, and money, and cheating, and stealing, and robbing. Only by God's mercy. But when we get to verse 2, he gives the positive prescription. If in verse 1 there's the negative prescription on how to be blessed, in verse 2 he talks about the positive prescription. And here you may be able to relate. If you have been saved, if you grew up in a Christian home, if you grew up in the church, here's the positive prescription for you on how to be blessed. The Bible says in verse 2, how to be blessed. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know that word delight? It means to esteem the word of God higher than food, higher than our natural necessities and physical necessities. Go to Job chapter 23, verse 12. Go to Job chapter 23, verse 12 with me. Look at the first prescription, the first positive prescription in Job chapter 23, verse 12. He says, delight in the law of the Lord. Look at what the Bible says in Job 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Well, look at the next phrase. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You see, if you're a believer today and you want to live a blessed life, delight in the law of the Lord and esteem the word of God higher than your physical food. Crave for the word of God. Be excited to come to church to listen and hear the teaching and preaching of God's word. Is that you today? Are you excited in learning about the word of God? Are you excited in learning about hearing from God? Or are there other things in our lives that are more important, that are more appealing? You want to be blessed? Delight in the law of the Lord. Esteem it better than money. Go to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 119 verse 162. I mentioned the book of the chapter of Psalm 119 as being the longest text, and it is about the word of God. You know what the Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 162? Look at this. Underline this verse. He says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Is that how you feel about the word of God when you're having your devotion? And all of a sudden God reveals something to you while you're having your personal devotion. And God just knows what verse to give you. Right at that very moment. How many of you can testify to that? That in your deepest hour, in your saddest time, all of a sudden you're just flipping through the pages in your Bible and you read a verse and God leads you to a verse and your heart is just lifted up. How many of you can testify to that? Oh, the Word of God. It's unsearchable. It's unsearchable riches. Secondly, besides delighting the word and the law of the Lord, the Bible says, look at this. And in his law, in verse 2, that he meditate day and night. Meditate day and night. I am guilty of not being able to do that. It is difficult, right? As much as we want to be in the war day after day, sometimes when I'm driving, I listen to Alexander Scarby. That's about the only Bible I would get day by day. But I make it a habit. I try. Sometimes I fail, but I make it a habit to listen to one preaching a day. That's my prescription. Some people have their own prescriptions from their doctors, from their physicians, for their physical needs. Most of you are taking aspirin, your maintenance medication, but can I give you a prescription from the Word of God? Here's your prescription. Listen to one preaching a day. Read one text a day. And be a blessing to one person a day. And you'll find your life, your Christian life, blessed. Blessed. And his law that he meditate day and night. Then you look at verse 3. Look at what happens when a man does that. He said he shall be like a tree, first of all, planted. You know that word planted signifies, number one, being rooted and strong and founded. And go to John chapter 7 verse 38 with me. I'm not making this up. John chapter 7 verse 38. Look at John chapter 7, verse 38. Look at what the Bible says. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. Look at this verse. Matthew 15, verse 13. God said, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. You see, if you are not grounded in the Word of God, if you are not founded in the Word of God, when troubles come, when heat come, you will wither. The Bible says first, so first thing we learn about the man that delights in the law of the Lord and meditates in it day and night, he will be planted. A lot of Christians have an unstable Christian life. Ephesians chapter 4 says they're easily swayed. They're tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The characteristic of an immature Christian is he's tossed to and fro. You know, if you miss Sunday school and if you keep missing Sunday school, please come. Please come to Sunday school and learn from the Word of God, that we may be rooted and grounded, Paul says, in love. First and foremost, a man that delights in the law of the Lord and meditates therein day and night is like a tree that is planted. Secondly, that plant, oh, by the way, it says, planted by the rivers of water. You understand the Holy Spirit? One of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit is that he's like water. And you have that thirst, you have that quenching thirst in your soul, and you look for all kinds of other things to satisfy that longingness. There's only one man, there's only one thing that can satisfy that longingness, can satisfy that drought in your heart, the Holy Spirit. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Look at the second characteristic of this man. The Bible says that bringeth forth, in verse 3, his fruit. You see that? Not only is he planted, but he brings forth fruit. My question to you this morning is, are you a fruit-bearing Christian? If you've been saved for so long, have you bore any fruit? Now let me remind us that in reality it is not us that bears that fruit. Sometimes we're told that, oh, you should be going out door knocking, you should be winning souls. If you're not winning souls, you're unspiritual. And you try your best to win people to Christ, even in the flesh. We force ourselves to bear fruit. But do you realize that you cannot force fruit bearing? Because fruit bearing comes as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. See, it is the Holy Spirit that brings fruit into our lives. It's not us. Go to Galatians with me, chapter 5. If you're not convinced that you cannot bear fruit of your own. Amen. Galatians 5, verse 22, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Christian? No. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Are you a fruit-bearing Christian? Do you have love in your life? Do you have joy in your life? Do you have peace that passeth all understanding? Do you have long suffering towards your fellow believers? Are you gentle? Are you good? Are you faithful? Are you meek? Are you temper? Are you a fruit-bearing Christian? See, the closer you are with the Holy Spirit, the more he brings forth the fruit out of your life, out of our lives. It's not us. It's not us that brings forth those fruit. The Bible says, not only that he brings forth fruit, also it's in his season. In his season, in God's time. When there's a new Christian that gets saved in the church, don't expect that person to know everything about the Christian life. Don't have a condemning spirit. If a new believer has just gotten saved a month ago, six months ago, don't condemn them for not reading their Bible. Don't condemn them for not wearing the right thing in the church. Don't condemn them for listening to the wrong music. They don't know. The Bible says, in his season, he will bring forth fruit. Be patient, be forgiving, be gracious to them. Oh, As fundamental Baptists, we have this problem. We see a person coming into the church not wearing the right clothing, and we begin to judge them. Never mind the fact that person just got saved a month ago. Never mind the fact that person is going through all kinds of trials and troubles in life. We begin to judge them. We begin to condemn them. Oftentimes, the church is more full of condemnation than love. The Bible says, in his season, he will eventually bring forth fruit. Give them time. Be gracious with one another. Give people time to grow. Do you know that in church, you will not find a perfect person? You will not find a perfect person in church. And if you believe that you are in church because you are perfect, it's only a matter of time when you'll find yourself proven wrong. And if you're looking for perfection among fellow believers in the church, you'll find yourself disappointed. Because the church is full of imperfect and sinful people. It is only by the grace of God that we are here. The church is not a place of holy people. If you are holy, then you don't need Christ. You don't need the church. Sometimes we expect so much from people, from others, but we don't expect the same expectation of ourselves. We become condemning. But the Bible says, in his season, that brother or sister will eventually bring forth fruit. Be gracious with them. Forgive them. Love them. The Bible says, not only is it planted, he will bring forth fruit. Look at the third characteristic of the blessed man. The third characteristic of the blessed man is that his leaf shall not wither, and will that you should rejoice. You see, there is that promise of eternal life. There's the promise of eternal security, that whatever troubles will come, you shall endure. You shall endure. It will be difficult, but the Bible says, when heat cometh, in Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, when heat cometh, you see, one thing that happens to a plant when it gets hot, and a lot of plants will die. The leaves will fall out under heat. And God in Psalms chapter 1 uses the plant to illustrate the life of a Christian, to illustrate the life of a person who listens to the word of God, who lives a righteous life. His leaf shall not wither. When persecution come, when troubles come, when trials come. In Matthew chapter 18, the Bible says, he shall not be offended. And then number 4, fourth characteristic of a blessed man in the positive sense, is that there is prosperity in everything that he does. Bible says, his leaf also shall not wither. And number 4, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, the key to success in not just careers, the key to success in the Christian life, the key to success in whatever it is we're trying to do in our life, is the word of God, is closeness to the word of God. If you deviate, if you shift away from the word, from the precepts of the Bible, expect failure to come. And then we come to the contrast, in verse 4 now, real quick, I'm running out of time. It talks about the blessed man, the righteous man, but in verse 4, he talks about the contrast, the exact opposite. He says, but the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff. What is a chaff? A chaff is that residue, that worthless thing from grain that comes out. When you separate the meat of the grain, that's the chaff that comes out. When I was growing up, we would put rice on a basket, and we would go outside on the street, and we would shake that bin, that basin of rice, to separate the chaff. And because the chaff, as you shake it, it would float, and the wind would blow that chaff away. And that's how you separate the meat of the rice, or the seed of the rice, from the chaff, the covering that peels off. That's what a chaff is. But the Bible says the ungodly is like a chaff. Number one, he's unstable. He shall not stand in the judgment seat. He shall not stand in judgment. He will not appear in the congregation of the righteous. And in the end of it all, their way will perish. David, or the psalmist, went through this struggle of trying to understand. Let's go to Psalm chapter 73. Go to Psalm 73 of this text. And I believe this is something that you and I, no matter how old you are, this is something you can relate with sometime in your life, or maybe now. The psalmist in Psalm 73, look at verse 3. The psalmist says, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble, neither are they plagued like other men. For pride compassed them about, violence covered them as garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They set their mouth against the heavens. You see that? Verse 12, he says, behold, these are the ungodly, look at the characteristic, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. The psalmist was struggling with this idea, with this view, because when he was looking at the world, it was not making sense to him. How could the ungodly prosper? How could the ungodly live a longer life? How could the ungodly be happier than I am? It doesn't make any sense. He was struggling. The Bible says, envious of them. Some of us can relate to that sometimes, especially in the Hollywood industry. If you're a young man, a young woman today, you're looking at the people that have stuff, and you envy people that have stuff, that own stuff, that are famous, that are rich. You know how this psalm ends in Psalm 73? Look at verse 16 and 17. The psalmist was envious of the wicked because they were prosperous, they were happy, they were living a long life. Verse 16 says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. It was becoming unbearable for him to look at the ungodly man while he was trying to live a good life. And yet the ungodly people are living a better life than the godly. And he was trying to comprehend, why is that? In verse 17 he says, until I went unto the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. You see that? See, in the eyes, in our carnal eyes, when we look at the unsaved people, the ungodly people, they seem to be doing everything right. They have riches, they are happy, they're flamboyant, they have all the positive things in life. And sometime in our lives, maybe you, and I know I have been envious of what they have, and started to go that route and follow their route. But then the Bible says, he understood their end. Verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery. Look at the condition of the ungodly. They are standing in slippery places. Jonathan Edwards preached a message on this. The condition of the ungodly is as if a man that stands on slippery places. It's only a matter of time when the judgment of God falls on them and they slip into eternity in hell. Look at verse 18. Thou castest them down into, verse 18 of Psalm 73, destruction. Oh, young men, if you think you're heading that direction, Your ambition is to be rich, your ambition is to be famous, and you're forgetting God. Can I warn you? All that stuff is superficial. One thing that Satan will not tell you is that there's a price that you will pay for living that kind of lifestyle. I'm not that old. I'm only 37 years old. Some of you have lived your life long enough to see what happens. Sin will eventually pay. Sin will eventually pay. And I work with a lot of gangsters. You know what? When they're 17 and 18 and 19, they think they have a whole life ahead of them. Selling drugs, stealing things from houses, burglarizing, vandalizing, destroying everything, making money from the cartels. And little do they know, by the time they turn 35 and 40, they're either dead, or they're in hospital, or they're institutionalized the rest of their life. I'm telling you, there's a price that you pay for sin. The characteristic of this ungodly is that of a chaff. Finally, if you look at a chaff, it's just blown by the wind. They don't stay. It's worthless. It's unstable. So my question to you is, this morning as we close, number one, do you want to be blessed? Number two, if you are a Christian today, how is your walk with God? How is your walk with God? The psalmist says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but delight in the law of the Lord, and you shall be like a tree planted, bringing forth fruit in your season. Your leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. Number one, do you want to be blessed? Number two, if you are a Christian today, how is your walk? And number three, if you are not a Christian today, if you do not know for a fact that heaven will be your home when you die, will you come to Jesus Christ? The life, the direction of life that you're heading is destruction. Don't buy into the promises of the outside world. They're lying to you. They're deceiving you. If you are not saved today, you've never come to the point of trusting in Jesus Christ, may today be the day. Please stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll have an altar call. I apologize for taking longer with the message, but I do not like putting a hold on the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit speaks. As the piano plays, there's an altar call. The altar is open. Do you want to be blessed? If you're a Christian today, do you want to be blessed? How's your walk with God? And if you're not saved today, you're living an ungodly life, would you come to Jesus Christ this morning? Would you come to Jesus Christ this morning? He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the great physician. Would you come to him today?
Our invitational hymn, please turn to 496. If you need to come for salvation or church membership, God's word is preached here. We invite you. God invites you. 496.
One plea that I have.
The altar is still open. If you need to come, please come. One more verse. Brother Raul, you want to close in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to be here to hear your word. Thank you for the message. We may draw from it and draw close to thee. Help us to walk according to your spirit and not the ways of the flesh. Father, bless those.